We turn it over to all y'all out there. It is time for the Blue Jays talk. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance. 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays get blown out for the third time this year. This is the third time in 15 games this season that they've lost by at least 7 runs. They fall 7-0 to the Chicago White Sox. The loss of one Jose, tough enough. The loss of two Jose's, near impossible for the Blue Jays to overcome, especially against Jose Quintana, who pitched awful tough tonight against the Jays after they fell behind very early on. The phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll get one call in here on the network hour before we let the rest of the country go. And let's go all the way out to Regina, Saskatchewan, listening on sportsnet590.ca. Troy, you're going to lead things off on the Blue Jays talk tonight.
Hi, Mike. I just kind of wanted to comment on the whole
Troy.
Hi.
Hey, there you are. All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to comment on the whole Blue Jays, kind of their at-bats tonight. It just seemed that they weren't there with the contact, like they were talking about a little bit earlier, how they're, you know, they have to shorten up and stop with all these big hacks for the home run ball.
Okay.
And I'm just, you know, it's just kind of, I know, even from, like, last night's game, it's kind of getting a little bit, I don't know, even with close runs like that.
Well, this is the way a lot of these guys hit. That's the thing. I mean, it's tough to change J.P. Arencibia, Edwin Encarnacion, Colby Rasmus, Brett Laurie, guys like that. You know, we were talking to John Gibbons about it yesterday in his office before the game, that the media scrum, about guys who take walks and guys who have those good long at-bats and work pitchers. And Gibby said, and I agree, that, you know, you can't teach a guy to do that. He either does or he doesn't. And the Blue Jays' key is to have enough guys who do that. It's okay to have a few who don't. JP's never going to walk. I don't think Brett Laurie is ever going to walk a ton. Edwin Encarnacion does, and Colby Rasmus does as well, but they're guys who don't get cheated on their swings either. Watching Miguel Cabrera in those three games against Detroit was just such a thing of beauty, because there is a guy who cuts down his swing with two strikes, who will shoot the ball the other way if that's where it's pitched. But remember, too, that he's also strong enough, Melky, that when he is cutting down his swing with two strikes, he can hit the ball out of the ballpark that way. Not Melky, Miguel Cabrera, pardon me. He can hit the ball out of the ballpark as well. It is, I understand that it's frustrating watching these big, huge hacks when it appears as though that's not what they need right now. And I agree with you. It would be great to see some of those swings cut down a little bit. But it doesn't seem like that's what these guys do. Thanks for the call. Not going to take another, because it wouldn't be fair. We don't have enough time. So what we're going to do is let you know that we're going to drop the network at the top of the hour, as is, you know, how we do things around here. But we will continue the Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. If you are not in the fan listening area, you can listen to us on sportsnet590.ca. You can listen to us on your Rogers radio app on your smartphone. You can listen to us on channel 904 on your Rogers digital cable. Blue Jays fall 7-0 to the Chicago White Sox. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays fall 7-0 to the Chicago White Sox, and they will try for the split of the series tomorrow night. We'll set you up for that in a second, but first take a quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard. The Boston Red Sox leading the Cleveland Indians 5-3 in the top of the eighth inning. Jason Giambi with his first home run as a tribesman, as it were. The Tampa Bay Rays trying to snap their four-game losing streak lead the Orioles 6-2 in the top of the ninth. Kelly Johnson with his third home run of the year, and Yunel Escobar has an RBI single as well. The A's beat the Houston Astros 7-5. The Stros have lost 5 straight. They're 4-11. And the Angels and Twins were postponed due to inclement weather. In the National League, Giants and Brewers are tied 3-3 in the bottom of the sixth. Washington leads Miami 5-1 in the top of the ninth inning. The Pirates shut out St. Louis 5-0. A.J. Burnett took a no-hitter into the seventh inning in this game. Reds over the Phillies 11-2 after they won the completion of a suspended game 1-0. And in interleague play, the Yankees took down Arizona 4-3, while the Royals beat the Atlanta Braves 1-0. The Blue Jays and White Sox will wrap up this four-game series tomorrow night with the Blue Jays looking for the split, and they will have their ace on the mound, R.A. Dickey, coming off his best performance of the year. He's up against tough lefty Chris Sale, who is 1-1. We're on the air at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. The first pitch will be delivered at 7:07, and it'll be Dirk Hayhurst's last game with us for a while, so make sure you tune in and enjoy his garfooseness. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Stick around on our flagship for more Blue Jays talk. For Jerry Howarth, Dirk Hayhurst, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye. The pitch to Rios is hit awfully deep, center field, and gone. Fifth home run of the season for Alex Rios into and out of what used to be Windows Restaurant, and it's a 5-0 White Sox lead. 5-0 White Sox on the way to a 7-0 White Sox win over the Toronto Blue Jays. Jays are now 6-9 on the season. And though it's way too early to be looking at the standings, they will be six games behind the Boston Red Sox if the Sox can hang on to their 6-3 lead over the Cleveland Indians in the top of the eighth inning. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, and the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We go to William in Toronto. William, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you, Mr. Wilner, for taking my call. This is, if I was managing the team, this is what I want to know your thought, but let me just elaborate quickly. What I would have done, because in a four-game series, so we started off with Burley, Johnson, and Happ, obviously, tonight.
Right.
He got bombed, and Dickey tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, now, what I would have done as a manager, and this is what I want to know your thought.
Okay,
after,
tell me already what you would have done.
I would have because Dickey can go off of four days rest because there's not a lot of torque that you have to use on your arm when it comes to a knuckleball pitcher.
You mean so 3 days rest?
I would have flip flopped. Okay. Dickey and Happ, giving Happ an extra day's rest. And you know what? We may have been able to salvage three out of four games. But now, basically, you waste Dickey because...
I'm sorry. It's April 16th, and you want to start your number one pitcher on short rest? Are you serious?
Do you know what his pitch count was the last game? It was 78.
It was 100.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
He got pulled out.
He got pulled out.
In the seventh inning,
he had just thrown his 100th pitch.
Okay.
You can't argue. That's a fact.
Okay, fine. But there's no torque on the album when it's a knuckleballer. Well, what I'm trying to say is this. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The opposing team. Okay.
Yes.
The
opposing team screws up. R.A. Dickey can screw up the opposing team.
That's right. The pitcher is.
Yes. So ideally, you're correct.
Behind.
Ideally,
when you got a four game series. So now, guess what? The Yankees don't even see him.
Right.
The Tri-Sox. They're ready for him. I wouldn't be surprised if they got bombed again.
Of course you would.
7-8-10-0.
Right, because R.A. Dickey's a terrible pitcher.
No,
thank you for the
I'm
call,
saying-
William. Well, William, let's calm down a little bit. Your point that you never actually said, but your point is reasonable in that you want to have R.A. Dickey and the guy following R.A. Dickey pitching against the same team as often as you possibly can. You're right about that. You want you don't want to have Dickey pitch on the last day of a series because you would like to be able to mess with that next team. You would. But you can't align your rotation so that that always happens every time out. And granted, it's kind of stunk that it's happened two times in a row now where Dickey pitches and then the Blue Jays opponent, or either the Blue Jays leave town or their opponent leaves town. But to mess with your rotation so that you're starting your number one guy on 3 days rest on April 17th is a little over the top. Nick in Markham, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. Would you say that Jose Reyes is injury-prone?
I would say that he's been hurt a lot. But so, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, I don't know if there is such a thing as injury-prone. I guess there is.
Last time I checked, he hasn't played, you know, full season in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, except for last year.
Well, he played, what? He was injured last year as well, right?
He played 150 games last year.
So he
more.
30, 32. Right?
Pardon me?
Wait,
I don't think that's right.
The thing I have to say is, you know.
Well, hold on a second. You think he played 132 games last year?
So he missed, what, 30? Then?
He played 160 games last year.
So he missed. He still missed 22.
He still missed two.
Two? He missed 2 games last year?
He missed 2 games last year.
Well, the comment I have is,
okay,
when the trades were made this summer, you know, a lot of emphasis put on, well, you know, the Jays won the trade.
Right. The winter's the off season in baseball, by the way. But go ahead.
And I really don't think that was the case because if you look at what's happened, you
yes.
know,
the 15 the games into the season.
The Mets didn't want to re-sign their Cy Young winner. They wanted to let him go for a reason, you know.
The reason was?
The reason why he was old and you can't replicate that Cy Young season.
And you're telling me this based on what?
Based on what? The fact that he's 38 years old.
Uh-huh. And he's a knuckleballer. That kind of matters.
He's a knuckleballer who faced a pitcher once out of every 9 times in the NL East.
That's correct.
Significant less offensive players than the EL East.
Yeah, but he faced a pitcher probably twice a game.
And how do the pitchers do against a knuckleballer? Do you think?
I don't know. Pitchers can't hit anyway.
No. They can't hit a knuckleball. That's for sure.
So you're talking about, you're saying that well, I don't want to get into this piece by piece.
I'm saying
but
that
I mean,
there's a lot of smart people in baseball that are in other organizations that are smarter than Alex Anthopoulos, and they want to let go of these players like Mark Burley, injury-prone Jose Reyes, and, you know, for to get prospects. Because, you know, at the end of the day,
yep.
A lot of broadcasters on your FanFly 90 and on the Sportsnet wanted Alex Anthopoulos fired last year for whatever reason.
I think there was one guy who wanted Alex Anthopoulos fired last year.
I think there's a couple.
I don't think so. I think there was one, and he's kind of a little over the top with his opinions.
And I think there's another guy who's, you know, your franchise guy that questioned his ability. Anyways. I think Alex Anthopoulos looked himself in the mirror and said, listen, these prospects that I have, like the big three in Lansing, Jake Marisnyk, Adenia Chavira, Alvarez, I think they're going to come to fruition after I get fired. And he said, listen, I'm going to let go of these players, sell the farm, and bring in whatever I can, you know, to make something of it. And that's, you know, the fallacy of every GM, you know.
Nick, I got to tell you, and I got to let you go because this is your frustration talking. This is the fact that we're 15 games into the season. We haven't even hit the 1/10 pole yet. And the fact that you really didn't know, I'm guessing, who Jose Reyes and Josh Johnson and Mark Burley and R.A. Dickey were until the Blue Jays traded for them this offseason. This was not a case of, I'm just going to dump prospects to get whatever I can because I'm going to get fired anyway before these guys wind up playing. This was a chance to remake a team with a group of proven all-stars. Yes, Reyes got hurt. He got hurt. It's going to happen. Unfortunately, it would have been nicer if he'd had a bit of a better slide and if he kind of knew where he was in space a little bit better on that play. But he's going to be back, one hopes, by the middle of July. And he'll be able to contribute to a Blue Jays team that is going to be, one would expect, unless this Bautista back thing is really bad, in the thick of the race. And maybe even if this Bautista back thing is really bad, because R.A. Dickey can pitch and will be fine and probably a lot better than fine, as will be Brandon Morrow and Josh Johnson at the very least. Let's go to one of our favorites, perhaps to restore some order on the Blue Jays talk tonight. Steve is in Phoenix City, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM Radio. Steve, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. First thing I got to say, these folks got to realize this is game number 15.
Yep.
1-5. Okay, we got a long season ahead of us.
I don't know, man. There's only 147 left.
Yeah, hell, I know it. Look, I got two things to say tonight. Number one, Colby Rasmus, he can't hit a left-handed pitcher yet. He will. It's coming. But right now, I tried to get in last night, but they wouldn't let me in last night.
No, we didn't have a lot of time last night. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. And second, I want to know one thing. What did Alex Rios do? Did he drown some puppies or run over an old lady or something? Because, man, they boo that boy every time he gets up.
They do.
And all they're doing, they're lighting a fire up under his butt every time he gets up. We're all that booing, and he's punishing us because of it. What'd he do, Mike? What'd he do?
I can't officially confirm this, but I did see him eat a baby once, and okay, I think that's a big issue for people.
Dad got it right there.
Well, no, what Alex Rios did was be really, really talented and not perform to his talent level while he was here with the Blue Jays. Fans really expected a lot more from him over the course of his career here. And there was this incident outside the ROM where he was baited into yelling at a fan, and unfortunately he looked really, really bad doing that. So they can't let that go.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of things those fans up there can't let go, Mike, but that's another day and another night I'll talk about that. But they're going to be fine. These folks just need to take a deep breath, drink a cold beer, think about tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day, no ball game, and quit getting so doggone upset. It's a game. It's a ball game. We all love it or we wouldn't be here talking about it. And I got to go. See you, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Lending the perspective, Alabama wisdom from Steve in Phoenix City. We appreciate the call a great deal. We'll take one more call, then we will have a 20 update from Andrew Nye, and on the other side of that, we'll hear from John Gibbons and take some more of your phone calls. But right now, let's go up the mountain. Jerry is in Hamilton. Welcome,
Mikey,
to the Blue Jays.
How are you, buddy? Listen, you know what? I got to take my hat off to you, my friend, listening to what you listen to. Anyways. you know what? Do you think it's a bit of chemistry? Do you think maybe is the chemistry good? I mean, I really don't know. I mean, I follow baseball like you. I've been with it since '77. But you know what? Through the good times, the bad times, and everything else, is this team really chemistry bound?
I don't think that makes a difference, to be honest with you. I think winning breeds chemistry. I think the players like each other. And I don't think that being 6-9 right now and having scored 21 runs in their last seven games has anything to do with the chemistry in the dugout.
Right. No, I know. I agree. I just didn't know that. I mean, I know that they like each other and they get along with me because they have to be with each other every day. And
yep.
I understand that. You know what? They're together for 6 months. And
that's
I
right.
understand
Eight
that.
Months.
And I think they're just going through some growing pains right now. And I think, you know what? It will get better. I mean, listen, I mean, it has to get better. I mean, come on. You don't get, and Pompous didn't go out and do this deal for nothing, you know?
That's right. Absolutely, Jerry. I think you're right. And thanks for the call. It does have to get better. This is not a 400 team. It's not a team that's going to win 40% of its games this season. You know, that's close to 100 losses. You're looking at a pace right now of about 64-98, and that's absolutely not this team. But, you know, we don't have to talk about them chemistry having to come together or them having to gel or anything like that. They're just playing like crap right now, and plain and simple. They're not hitting the ball when they're pitching. When they're not pitching, they're not really hitting either. They're just playing poorly, but it's a snapshot of the season. Again, we're not even one-tenth of the way through. Blue Jays lose at 7-0 to the Chicago White Sox tonight. We will continue to Blue Jays talk it up all the way to the top of the hour, and we'll hear from John Gibbons in his post-game comments next. But first, we will have Andrew Nye giving you an update on all things sporting that affect us
here in this fine city of Toronto, and then more of your phone calls as we continue with the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Fastball belted left center field. Long run, Colby Rasmus. He's running, he's turning, he's pulling up. That ball slams off the wall, base hit. Into second base glides Ramirez with an RBI double. That cashes in the Canerco double, and Chicago out in front 4-0.
The two-out RBI double by Ramirez after the three-run homer in the second inning by Tyler Flowers with two out, and the Chicago White Sox score four of their five runs off of Jay Happ with two down on the way to a 7-0 win. But really, it doesn't matter because all they needed was that one other run. The Blue Jays did not score, and outside Rajay Davis, Edwin Encarnacion, and Munenori Kawasaki, the Blue Jays went a combined 0-for-24 tonight in a 7-0 loss to the Chicago White Sox. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, taking it all the way till 11 o'clock Eastern Time. Our intrepid reporter, Eric Prime, just brought up some Jose Bautista audio, so Tom Young is going to work hard to turn that around, and we will get to play that for you shortly. And as we wait, we'll take some more of your phone calls. We'll go to Matt, who's in Bakersfield, California, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Before I make my original comment, for those people who are worrying about the Jays, I wanted to tell them to go look at the first 50 games for the Giants and Tigers last year. So now my comment, I wanted to know what you thought about how the Jays are going to keep the speed in the lineup and on the bases till Reyes gets back. Seems like since he went down, the speed has affected them terribly.
Well, the problem is that the speed they have outside of Reyes isn't very good at getting on base right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder, how do they keep it in the lineup and put him on base? I mean, ever since Reyes went down, we haven't scored over four runs a game, and it seems like the pitchers are approaching us differently, not worrying about the speed on the bases.
I don't know if that second part is true. The first part is true. The hitting is in a slump. But again, you know, you have Reyes out and you have Kawasaki hitting close to 400. So,
The shortstop is he saw that defense. But I was just curious because it seems like they don't steal any bases. They haven't been doing any running, and they've only been doing hit and runs. And it's been DeRosa running.
Yeah, because Bonifacio hasn't been getting on base. Because Rajay Davis did get on base a couple of times tonight, but both times with a guy in front of him. And those are your other base stealers besides Reyes. Bonifacio's got it.
My question for you is how are the Jays going to maintain getting speed on the bases? What do you think they're going to have to do to get that speed on the bases? And
there's nothing you can do other than get those guys hitting.
Well, I know, but I just maybe, you know, call somebody up or change up the lineup or I don't know, because it just seems like since Reyes went down, the speed is really missing. They haven't even stolen a base from my recognition.
They have, I think, a couple since Reyes went down. Kawasaki's got one, and I think there was another one. I'm not sure, but it's only been five, six games. This is not a team that's built around speed. This is a team that should, when everything's working properly, have a pretty versatile offense. They can hit home runs. They should be able to get on base. They should be able to run once they get on base. So I don't think it's a major, major concern that the Blue Jays need to get a speed guy in the lineup to replace the speed that they've lost with Jose Reyes. I just think in the overall, this is a team that's not hitting well right now. And that's the bigger problem. I think you're concentrating on the speed aspect of it is a little, you know, you're kind of missing the bigger picture.
Well, the hitting is obvious. I know the hitting's gone. I mean, that's obvious. It just the speed on the bases helped when our hitting was down, and it doesn't seem like our guys can pull through in those tight situations lately. And like I said, you know, when I came on the air, I said, you know, for the people who are worrying, I'm not worried myself. I know they'll pull it together, but look at the first 50 games for the Tigers and Giants. You know, there's a struggle until they got their flow, and once Reyes gets back, the Jays should pick up their flow.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot more than 50 games, but yeah, they should. But hopefully they can win some ball games without him. They should be able to do that too. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate the call. We have some more callers on the line. We have a couple of other lines open, but right now we're going to listen to Jose Bautista. He's been out for three games with back spasms. He had an inner ear infection as well, and he spoke to the media after today's 7-0 loss to the Chicago White Sox. Here's Bautista.
How's the back feeling, Jose?
The back is cold right now. I got some ice on, but we'll see how I feel in the morning.
What exactly happened, and kind of take us through the last 3 days?
I don't think there was any one particular play or anything that that made it that bad is, for whatever reason, it just starts spasming him up. And Monday morning when I woke up, and just really, really tight. So I, you know, it's painful to move and play. And some similar of what happened to me on my neck last year or 2 years ago. You know, just muscle spasms. You gotta just wait till it calms down, take your meds, do your treatment, and that's basically all you can do.
So it's a wake up in the morning, see how you're feeling kind of deal?
Yeah. And it's happened to me the last two nights where I leave here and I feel like I'm going to be good enough the next day to play. And I just wake up and it's tight again. So hopefully that doesn't happen tonight.
Have you done an MRI, any tests, anything like that?
They did some testing, and everything came back clean. It's just muscular and it's just tight muscles. You just got to wait till they subside.
So is this the sort of thing that affects routine life, you know, when you're...
Yes, it does. You know, it's just... It bothers you to sit. You don't know how to lay down to sleep. It's hard to put your clothes on, to tie your shoes, that kind of stuff.
So obviously no thought given to any kind of bat swinging or anything like that when you can't tie your shoes?
No. If I do anything, you know, athletic activity related, it's just going to make it worse. So it doesn't make any sense to even try.
So is it a pain thing? Like once the pain kind of subsides, then you'll kind of reevaluate? Or are you ready to go as soon as the pain?
I should be ready to go as soon as the pain goes away. I mean, if the muscles are loose, then there won't be any more pain. I just need it to loosen up. And I haven't been able to get it loose in the last couple of days. So, again, you know, every night when I go home, like right now, I feel like if I go to bed and I wake up in the morning, I should be able to go. If everything keeps progressing, it's just that the last two nights, it hasn't.
You've been in this town long enough that you know how the chat boards and the radio phone calls go. People are saying he's got to be out there playing, he's got to be out there playing. What's your kind of message to the fans that want to see you out there playing, wondering why you're not able to go?
Well, I know there's a lot of passion here, and they want to win games, and so do I, and so does this team and organization, but I'm not going to do a disservice to everybody by being out there, not being 100%, or making myself even worse for the future. You know, it's still early in the season. It makes absolutely no sense for me to play like that. We have great players that can fill in my absence, and when I'm ready to go, I'll be in the lineup.
So there's Jose Bautista. Fine work by Eric Prime getting it to us so that we could get it to you. And that's the story on Jose. And anybody out there who has a bad back understands exactly what Jose Bautista is saying. You just, when it's tight, when it's in spasm, you almost can't do anything. And to try to hobble out there wouldn't be doing anybody any good. We'll hear from John Gibbons on the other side of Andrew Nye's Next 20 Update. Right now, we'll take a few more of your calls. Ross is in Barrie. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Yes, thanks for taking my call, Mike. You know, this guy seems to me like he's a peach or he's a watermelon. He's had 6 weeks or 8 weeks.
I have no idea what that means.
In spring training, and believe me, you know, I played ball for 40 years. And
at the same level as Jose Bautista, I'm assuming?
Pretty well.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I pitch baseball.
Yep.
But I've gone through a lot of pain, and I go back out the next night.
Yep. How many MVP seasons in the major leagues have you had, Ross?
And get ready to play baseball and to hear this kind of stuff. And you got to be ready to play baseball. And when he lets down a team like that and makes them the kind of money he is.
How is he letting down a team by getting hurt?
He's letting down a team because they relied on him for the last year and a half.
Yeah, well, they've relied on him for a lot more than and I understand you're speaking from, you know, some very elite 50 home run seasons in the major leagues that you've had, Ross, but I don't understand how you can expect him to be something more than a human being. And people get hurt. And when you get hurt, you can't perform, especially at a high level of athletics. I mean, beer league softball is one thing. But, you know, to run out and try to play a major league game with a bad back that's in crisis, it seems like probably a counterintuitive, doesn't it?
Well, I hope he doesn't have a seriously bad back, but he always seems to swing for the bleachers every time he's up there. When two men are on base, hit the right field.
What does that have to do with him being a watermelon, as you mentioned earlier?
Well, he's, you know... It's like Jose Calderon. Every time they get a little sore and everything like that, they seem to sit out four or five games. Like, get out there and perform. I mean, your players on your team look at you and say, oh, geez, I'm hurt, so I'm going to take a few days off.
So you would rather have Jose Bautista go out there not being able to run, not being able to swing a bat? That's exactly your point.
No,
you're saying he has to go out there and play.
And play a little hurt and go out there and show you instead of sitting on the bench.
Right, so you'd prefer, again,
your neck
just for the record, Ross, would prefer to have Jose Bautista out in the lineup when he's unable to swing a bat and unable to run, but you want him there playing for his presence.
You really think he's that hurt?
Do you not think he would be in the lineup if he wasn't that hurt?
I don't know that.
Of course he is.
How do you think John Gibbons feels? He must be just biting his tongue, saying, get out there and play baseball.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what John Gibbons is exactly.
Well,
Ross,
I
thank you for the call.
Night.
Ross, come on. I mean, seriously. For anyone to think that Jose Bautista on April 17th is going to be faking an injury so he can have a few days off. Honestly. Jay in North York, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Sorry, Mike, I'm just stopping laughing. Okay, so I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
First of all, the lineups have been very shifty, understandably, with all of the injuries, and I've sort of been wondering how the Jays can get more offense. So my question is, Bonifacio, you know, I would rather see him at second base. I would rather see him in the outfield. I think Davis deserved a start. So I was remembering Cabrera playing quite a bit of right field with the Yankees, and I'm just wondering if he could move over to right field, if that would be a possibility. Davis just, I feel a little bit more comfortable with him in left. And why is Bonifacio sitting on the bench? To me, Soris is kind of like a little bit better than John McDonald offensively, and I would rather see the other guy in. And finally, sorry for the third one. The new shortstop, I'm sorry.
Kawasaki.
He's unbelievable. And if and when Reyes comes back, are there going to be some considerations of roster moves? Is there going to be a possibility if he continues to perform that someone like Anastasis or someone like a Mark DeRosa could be sent back down?
It's highly, highly, highly doubtful that Kawasaki is going to be able to continue to perform at the rate at which he's performed so far. I mean, this guy has a long track record and a history of not being an offensive performer. So far, he's been wonderful, and we've all enjoyed watching him, and he's very easy to fall in love with. And he's 4-for-11, and he's walked 4 times, which is amazing. He's been outstanding. But again, just like we're talking about how the Blue Jays, it's only 15 games. For Kawasaki, it's only 4, and he's doing things that he's really never done before on a long-term basis. So I don't expect there to be any controversy when Jose Reyes comes back about needing to find a place to keep Munenori Kawasaki in the lineup. As far as the other things go, I think that Melky Cabrera should actually be in right field if Jose Bautista's not in the lineup. And I would like to get Emilio Bonifacio going, which he's not right now. He has looked just awful, pretty much, at the plate, and he hasn't looked very good in the field either. But I'm not willing to cut bait on him just yet. And I think what they'll continue to do is use Bonifacio against right-handers and use Rajay Davis against left-handers. And Asturias is probably going to get the bulk of the work at second base because of the way Bonifacio has played second base to start this season. Now, there's a chance he'll be able to work his way back into it without question, but I think right now they're going to go with the more reliable glove in Asturias. I agree with you. I'd like to see Melky Cabrera playing right field while Bautista's out because of the throwing arm, but it doesn't appear as though that's the way John Gibbons wants to do things right now. I appreciate the call. I really do, especially after the last couple. Andrew Nye standing by. He's going to give us an update. We're going to hear from John Gibbons on the other side. And more of your phone calls. Blue Jays fall 7-0 to the Chicago White Sox. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Heavy is Ortiz. Pitch. Hit to center field. Should be enough to get home the runner at third base, Flowers. Rasmus in right center makes the catch. Here comes Flowers to score. Tagging at second, coming to third is Green, holding his ground at first, Deaza. and Chicago bumps the count to 6-0 on that Kepinger sacrifice fly.
There will be another sacrifice fly later in that top of the seventh inning off of Ramon Ortiz to make it 7-0. And there's your final. The Blue Jays fall to the Chicago White Sox 7-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. One more segment for you before we hand things over to Jeff Sammet at the top of the hour. Taking your phone calls, and we go right back to it. Josh is in Manhattan, assuming listening on some sort of internetic device. Josh, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, Mike. I just want to make one quick comment about John Gibman's decision to bring Ramon Ortiz in that point of the game in, I believe, the sixth inning.
Sixth inning, two out, down 5-0.
Yeah, I mean, in the end of the day, they failed to score any runs, so it didn't make a difference. But I just think that bringing him in at that point kind of shows a lack of faith in the Jays' offense, you know, to score 5 runs with 3 innings to go.
If you're not going to bring him in then, when are you going to bring him in?
You could bring him in when you're up 5 runs or you're down 6 or 7 runs. I mean,
you really, like, one run makes that much of a difference? First of all, I wouldn't bring him in when I'm up by 5 runs. Maybe. But, you know, you have to, you can't use the Cecils and Loops and Delabars of the world all the time. And you can't, you know, when you're down 5-0 in the sixth inning, that's when you go to your long guy.
I mean, the guy has a 5 ERA, around a 5 ERA in his entire career, and he can't get it done. And if you're bringing him in, if you have three, don't think that you can score five runs in 3 innings. You know, that just shows a lack of faith in the offense. You can bring in Loop for an inning or two and see if they can get something going, and then, you know,
then you don't have him tomorrow.
By the eighth or ninth inning, right? But you have other guys you can bring. You know, they have got Rogers.
Yeah, I don't think you can manage a bullpen like that. I think that when you're, you know, first of all, the odds of scoring 5 runs in 3 innings are not great, A. Two, he comes in with 2 out in the sixth inning. So to get 1 out and then give the middle of the order a chance to come back and score a couple of runs in the bottom of the sixth, and if the Blue Jays had scored 2-3 runs in the bottom of the sixth inning, then Ortiz doesn't come back out for the seventh because you've cut into that lead and you're going to use a better pitcher. But, I mean, I understand the temptation to want to use a really, you know, top-line pitcher for every single key out. But, you know, the long guy's here for a reason. And those are the kinds of games you bring your long men in. When you're down 5 in the sixth inning, that's his job.
Right. I know. I played for a pretty bad baseball team out in New York. So we're down, you know, five or more runs a lot. And I just think that, you know, being in that situation, you can definitely sense a difference on the bench when you're down 5 versus 6 or 7 or more runs.
I hate to say Josh.
5, you still think you got a chance.
Yeah, I hate to say it. There's a large difference between the way a Major League Baseball bench feels and the way your baseball team bench feels when you're down by 5 runs. I appreciate the call, though. Love to hear from people in relatively far-flung locations, even though New York's not that far away. It's great. We love the long distance. I'm still waiting for our first call from Nunavut. We will get to more of your phone calls shortly, but first, let's listen in on the post-game media scrum from the manager. Here's what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of tonight's 7-0 loss to the White Sox.
John, obviously it's been a little inconsistent in the early going here. At what point do you start to say, at what point do you say it's early, and at what point do you start to say, it's time to start getting it going?
Well, you know, it's time. You know, I've been in this league before, and you bury yourself too early. I mean, it's a tough go. We got some good teams, and there's good teams in all American League and definitely in our division. So, but you know, tonight, I mean, they just kicked our ass, basically. I mean, all the way around. Their pitcher was good. Excuse me. Pardon me. I mean, he was really good, but, you know, I mean, he had us, you know, I mean, we were chasing that ball up, a lot of pop-ups and things like that, you know. And they came right at half, you know, the big blow, you know, the home run early. So, yeah, I mean, we were never in that. We were overmatched tonight on both sides.
Givi, you know, Reyes and Bautista, just two guys, but they're obviously two important pieces. I mean, can you just talk about how different your lineup looks without those two guys and how difficult it is to kind of to draw it up when it was so early in the offseason?
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I mean, they're two of our top players. You know, but Reyes is going to be gone a while. But, you know, Kawasaki's doing a heck of a job taking his place. He really has. He's getting on base. He's playing good defense. You know, so it's definitely been a pleasant surprise there. And, you know, Jose, I mean, he's anchoring the middle of our lineup. There's no question. You know, him missing is, I mean, that's a big bat. But, you know, we're not the only team out there beat up. But, you know, we haven't really seemed to put it together yet, you know, offense and defense. I mean, and pitching, well, defense too. So, you know, and it's frustrating. I mean, the guys are trying. It's one of those deals. I mean, you got to fight through it. But, you know, you can't say it's early anymore, really. I mean, we're a few games into the season. So we need to start playing better baseball, that's for sure.
Gibby, one of the strengths of the lineup was that it wouldn't necessarily have to be so relying on the home run, but it seems through the first stretch that it's really been the home run that wins it for you. Why do you think you haven't been able to create more innings and build bigger innings and a more diverse offense at this point?
Well, you know what? We're striking out a lot. That's for sure. You know, even a lot of our home runs have been like the solo job, you know. Where tonight they get that big three-run blast, and, you know, kind of opens things up. And, you know, their pitcher was pretty good. You know, no, I think, you just got to have the mindset. You got to battle. You get down the count, you just got to battle. You know, you got to scrap. You know, you can't settle for the strikeout. Nothing good can happen with a strikeout. And it's part of it. You know, I mean, we're going to strike out a lot. That's who we are. But, you know, cheap single here and there is not a bad thing either.
John, what did you see happen with Hap in that second inning there? Good first inning, got the first two outs, right. And then he seemed to start falling behind in counts.
Yeah, I mean, that first inning, man, was, I mean, what, I don't know how many pitches he threw, but it was bam, it was over with, and he looked locked in. And then, you know, then he would start scattering a little bit, and they got some powerful guys in that lineup that, you know, I know Flowers, I think he was left up out over the plate, and he's a strong guy. But yeah, I mean, he was really out of sync all night. But you know what? I mean, in a lot of ways, that can be his style too. He's not said it before. He's not a pinpoint control guy, but he's still got to come into that zone enough to work ahead, those kind of things. So, but he's been great all year. That was his first blip. So he'll bounce back. I mean, he's a good competitor. They got a good pitching staff. Their guy was great tonight, you know. But he shut us down pretty good.
There's John Gibbons on tonight's 7-0 loss, the Chicago White Sox, and Gibby obviously does not sound happy, can't really be happy with what's going on. The Blue Jays beaten in every facet of the game tonight, he said, falling again 7-0 to the Chicago White Sox. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, taking your calls for another little while before we hand it over to Jeff Sammet. And let's go to Scott in Stouffville. Scott, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Mr. Wilner, I really appreciate you taking my call. And before, I just have a couple quick questions. Before I get to that, I just wanted to thank you because I appreciate some of the innings that you've been given this year. I've really enjoyed listening to your call, your passion, and, of course, putting up with us fans on Jays Talk. But to get to my questions here, I'm just wondering, with the ball club, obviously, like, no one can doubt that the talent that we have on this club, but with the offense scuffling as it is, and as many base runners that we've left on, and listening to Gibbons talk about cutting down the strikeouts, I'm wondering, when is it where Gibbons will say, you know what, let's just start laying down the bunt, moving the runners across, or let's start the hit and run, because I think what the team needs is like that one big game where just like we blow someone out and then gain confidence, or even just to go up to the plate knowing, okay, I don't have to worry about I'm going to striking out or not tonight. Like, I just have to, I'm going to lay down this bunt or whatever.
Well, we've seen on numerous occasions guys try to lay down a bunt. It seems like Emilio Bonifacio gives away the first pitch of every at bat he's had all year trying to put a bunt down. And failing to do it. So there's been that. There have been a couple of hit and runs. But you have to have the opportunity, and it has to be the right spot in a ball game. But I understand what you're saying and wanting the manager to try to make something happen. But ultimately, it's the players who have to really make something happen. And,
yeah.
And you know, I don't want the middle of the order trying to bunt for base hits.
No, obviously, because I think Gibbons, what he's probably thinking is we've got so much talent on this team, he's just going to sit back and kind of hope, you know, watch things unfold and that hopefully they get it going.
I wouldn't quite put it that way, but I think he's relying on his players to get the job done, which is a little
right.
different than, you know,
right.
what sitting back it kind of insinuates. But there's only so much a manager can do. It comes down to the players, and they have to perform, and they're not.
Mm-hmm. And this is my second part. I was just wondering, how long before do you think that we might see Anthony Ghost? And I'm not saying, like, I think Rasmus should stay where he is and hopefully work it out, but, I'm watching the arm out in the outfield. I've heard Ghost has had a bit of success in Buffalo. I'm just wondering, do you think it's possible that AA might pull the trigger and bring him up sooner than later?
I don't know. I was kind of advocating that the last couple of days, but Alex Anthopoulos really seemed to say that, you know, a month or two if Ghost continues to do well. Ghost through 10 games in Buffalo is hitting .289 with a .372 on base, which is terrific, .368 slugging, which is not. He's only struck out 7 times in 38 at-bats, which for him is great, but which still over the course of a full season is like 125 strikeouts. So you want to cut down on that. That's the last thing that Anthony Ghost needs to do to be ready to play in the major leagues. And if Bonifacio doesn't come around and if the offense stays stagnant and if things don't start to get better, then maybe Ghost does come up to give them a shot in the arm and play a little bit of right field. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to that, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. It would be nice, though. Thanks for the call, Scott.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. We got a minute left. Do we sneak in Angry Thomas?
Do it.
Thomas is always angry. All right, go ahead, Thomas.
Okay, quick question for you, Mike. What's the rationale behind yourself and some of the beat writers in the city? I mean, I've been a Jays fan forever. And what's the rationale behind, I mean, just saying that it's a long season?
It is a long season.
It is a long season, but we know that the Blue Jays, we know what division the Blue Jays play in.
Uh-huh.
Play almost 50% of their games with, like, the toughest division in baseball.
Yeah, not anymore.
Or even in professional sports.
Not anymore. It's not anymore.
Not anymore.
It's not the toughest division in professional sports anymore.
The
Yankees aren't what the Yankees were. The Red Sox aren't what the Red Sox were. Rays...
They're not proving that this year. They're really hanging on, and they're looking like the Red Sox. Although they might not be on paper, they are looking like the Red Sox, and Yankees are holding on until Teixeira and Granderson get back.
Yeah, Thomas, we're 15 games into the season, and the Yankees are only 13 games into the season.
I know, but I'm saying a tone hasn't been set. Yankees seem to be Yankees, and Boston so far seem to be Boston. And let's look at Jays going into Interleague. We know the Jays' record in Interleague. It's one of the worst. So why not start to panic a little bit? It's a long season, yes.
Yeah.
They're factors.
What's the point of ever panicking?
What's the point of ever panicking?
Why would you ever want to panic? What good? And this is one of the things that really gets to me.
You want to know what everyone's talking about? The point of panicking is?
Yes, please.
Well, Mike,
does panic ever lead to somebody doing something smart? No. It doesn't.
Are you talking about from a fan perspective or from a player perspective?
I'm talking about just in general. What good ever comes of panic?
Well, I'll say this. Boston Red Sox panicked this year, and they're doing pretty good.
Okay, I don't believe that to be true.
Some people perform better under pressure. That's a given fact. But what I'm saying is, from a fan perspective,
uh-huh.
when fans panic, some fans have a vested interest. Some fans are season ticket holders.
Yeah.
Some fans are subscribers to certain stations that the Blue Jays. I mean, there's
right.
There's
and again, please tell me what positive comes from panicking, from those fans panicking. Why is it time to panic? What good comes from, if I were to sit here and say, you know what, you're absolutely right. This season has gone down the toilet. This team is terrible. It's time for everybody to panic. What happens?
When the media panics, I've seen what happens when the media panics.
Which is what?
The media kind of gets the backlash from the fans. And to me, what that does is it sends a sense of accountability. It's a sense of accountability, and I've seen it. I've seen it from the Leafs this year. What happened with Burke? I mean, I've seen what happens. The fans feel that when they panic or when they get upset, there's a sense of accountability.
There's
that,
a very big difference, Thomas, between getting upset and panicking. There's a very, very large difference between getting frustrated and panicking. Pardon?
Does panic not lead to anger in many cases, like tonight, some of the calls you've been taking?
No, I don't think that's panic. I think that's frustration, and I think that's people being angry. And that's expectations that aren't being fulfilled, and it's people thinking that, you know, they're not getting what they paid for. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Some of your colleagues on this radio station would define it as panic. I mean,
then some of my colleagues on this radio station need to open a dictionary. Because that's not what panic is. If you're talking about should people be upset, should people be frustrated, absolutely.
Yes.
You should be frustrated. This is not what any of us expected to see. But you still have to be aware of the fact that there are 147 games left in the season. You really need to be aware of that fact. You also need to be aware of the fact that they've played the last three games without their two best hitters, and they've played the last five games without one of their best hitters. And that's a factor.
This
stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum.
You're absolutely right. And, Mike, they're going to play a lot more games without two of their best players. And guess what? When in the off season, you know what we've constantly heard from this very radio station?
I don't know. I guess Derek Brandeo says we're out of time. I think we've constantly heard that this is going to be a really good team. I know I've said that. And I've said that they're the class of the American League East. Right now, they're not. And you should be frustrated, and that's fine. But panic's a little too much. This was a fun Blue Jays talk. Let's do it again tomorrow. We're back here at 7 o'clock for the finale of this series. See you then.